Good morning. We're going to get started. When you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God. Let's rightly apply it. It's early. Why?
So we can apply it
to the details of our lives. It's a good time to turn your cell phones off, or at least on vibrate. Today is 6-6-2022. I'll get this later.
Summer.
I got a tube pulled yesterday, so I'm my first one. I'm no longer a virgin. The tooth fairy got me. I'm a little off, trying to hurry here this morning, but praise God. It's February 6th, 2022, and I'm glad you're all awake this morning, reminding me. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. As you know, I'm teaching through the book of Ephesians, verse by verse, and we're just going to deal, this is part 1 of verse 1. So we're going to look at it in a minute, and we don't want to rush through it. Ephesians is such a rich book with spiritual riches that we want to really dig out. God's Word is exhaustible. So, you know, for eternity we'll be learning about God's wonderful grace through His Word and His love and His heart and His mind. So first of all, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for another day of Your grace. We look at this world around us, Father. I don't really watch it much, but the 6 o'clock news, we see what Satan's doing in this world. But we realize You're sovereign, You're above him, and he can only do what You allow him to do. And we don't see what You're doing behind the scenes. We don't see the people are coming to You because they're thinking about death, and they're afraid. And if that's what it takes, praise God. But mostly, Father, You want them to come to You because of Your love, where You demonstrated Your love in this. While we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. So I pray Your Holy Spirit, again, would always be the real teacher here, that Him from within would empower and me and the pastor later as He teaches at church. And we would be encouraged, we'd be revived. Our hearts would be challenged to apply Your Word to our lives. And everything that's done here, may Christ be magnified in His wonderful name. Amen. So, again, let's go to Ephesians 1, verse or chapter 2. I don't know today. Verse 1. And we'll read the verse first, and I'm only going to deal with half of this today because I think there's a lot there. I've mentioned it before. I've heard that some pastors, it was like an emerging, I don't know if you know about the emerging church movement, but they want to make, you know, it's milking music, not discuss doctrine, you know, a little bit of the Bible, of course, but mostly let's have a good time, you know. They want to change from pews to sofas. You know, they want to change the face of Christianity. And the guy was saying that he had talked to a lot of pastors. I mean, you know, hundreds of pastors. He had a radio show. And he said, most of them said, I got about 10, 15 minutes of content, and then I'm telling stories and making jokes. And as you know, I've never had that problem. I never get in hardly. It surprises me when I get in the verses that I want to teach. So there's a lot in there when you study. You know, you read the Bible, you're going to get some out of it. But when you study it, and that's what Paul calls us to do, right? 2 Timothy 2:15. What is it? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's what we're going to do this morning. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you, who's he talking to? Believers. Remember, I always ask, who's speaking or writing? Who are they writing to? So the body of Christ. He's writing to believers. And you has he quickened. And that word, and what we would understand, would be made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. So usually I would start out at the beginning of the verse dealing with it, right? But I'm going to deal with the second half, and next week we'll deal with the first half. Because I want to see some, and this is, you know, simple for a lot of us that have been studying the Word of God. But sometime, you know, Paul talked about how Satan's very subtle, how he deceived Eve from the simplicity of Christ, right? Sometime we need to be reminded of things, you know, what God has did for us, you know. And that should move our hearts and our minds and our desires to want to serve Him because of it. So what does Paul mean? We were dead. Because in verse 2, he said, read verse 2. He said, we're walking. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air. So the name of my message is actually The Walking Dead. Do you remember that movie? What was it, The Living Dead? I think it was.
The Night of the Living Dead.
The Night of the Living Dead. Well, you know, most of the world is in the Night of the Living Dead. You know, how many people do you actually think are believers? I ain't talking about just that we're Christian t-shirts, you know, but in the world, it's a small percentage. God's always had a remnant of people that came His way, right? And so we're going to look at four different types of death that God describes in His Word. Now, this ain't exhaustive. You can find some other ones. But I think four main ones for our subject and what Paul's looking at. So the four we're going to look at is physical death, number one. Number two is spiritual death. Number three is functional death. And number four is eternal death. And so let's look at physical death. What is physical death? How would you describe physical death?
Separation.
Well, wait, Bill. So if I'm doing, Bill says stop breathing. So if I'm,
then you're dead.
If I do it long enough, right? I'll be dead, or I'll be. Remember when you were a kid, you would breathe, and then you would hold your chair till you passed out. Anyway, so all right, give me some other definitions.
Separation of your soul from your body.
Very good. Anybody else? See, I keep you awake by asking questions and giving you a chance to give me a little input. There's a guy, do you remember when I got asked to teach in, was it Missouri this past year at a Grace Bible conference? And the guy, actually, I'm going to get it printed up. He says, he's got that accent. I say, brother, I love the way you ask questions, and then you bring the people out and make them think. You make them think, and that's what I like to do. I don't just want you to think what I think, believe what I believe. What I want you to do is learn to think for yourself. A good teacher doesn't teach you what you should believe. He teaches you how to research what's truth and then believe what God's Word says in context and rightly divided, right? So I like asking questions. You know, I used to do a two-hour Bible study. Can you imagine? I mean, Bill, in about 15, 20 minutes, he'll be sleeping. He'll be sleeping over there, you know. That's 20 minutes. And I mean, you know, that's why I think 45 minutes is a good time for church service or Bible study for the teaching, because our minds can only concentrate so much, right? And some of us, less than others, my boy or whatever. Anyway, but I used to lead a two-hour Bible study. Can you believe it? And people used to come. We used to have 15, 20 people. And now I look back, you know, because I'll see even as I'm preaching, and not just in this church, there's always somebody out there, you know, with basset hound eyes, you know, like trying to stay awake, you know, or something. Why would people keep coming? Because I did it differently. You know, in church, you don't really want to do this because there people go on rabbit trails. You ask them a question, they start to answer, and then they go boing, 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 and before you know it, it's got nothing to do with the subject. But that's what I used to do, but I was real good for reeling them back in, like saying, well, we can discuss it afterwards, but that really doesn't have anything to do with the study. So in church, you really don't want to do that, but I still want people to think. So that's why I'll ask a question, so you can think it a little bit about it, you know, because you don't want to just sit there, you know, you want to get your mind cranking. That's why I have a couple cups of coffee usually. Anyway, so physical death, Ray had a very good answer to it. Bill had partially. It's your body stops breathing, your brain's dead. And it's the absence of your spirit and soul from the body. They're separate, but they're connected, because Scripture talks about your whole body, soul, and spirit. So that's physical death. So it's a separation of the soul and spirit at death. It's now your body is completely absent of life, except now the body corrupts, right? And that's a death, sort of a death kind of a life in it, in itself. But let's look at spiritual death. In verse 2, Paul says, in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the children that are now working in the children of disobedience. So in verse 1 he says, the second half of verse 1 I meant actually, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's, you got to rightly divide this verse, don't you? There's differences. One, you were made alive. In time past, you were dead, right? How does Paul say to really divide the word? Time passed, but now things to come, right? We'll look at things to come and the idea of death later in the study. But so what it means to be spiritually dead is the idea of separation from God. You have no spiritual life, okay? That's spiritual death. And that's what everyone was born at. So we're going to look at, let's go back to the beginning, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Who says mid-ex dispensationalists don't study any other part of the Bible but Paul's epistles? All scripture is profitable. But you get the most profit, what? When you rightly divide it, like God says, right? So go to Genesis, I said, chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And I've went over these verses before. But how do you learn? Three ways. Repetition. She learned it, repetition. And we want to be reminded where we were. You know, because sometimes... Have you ever been without a job and you couldn't find a job? And you're struggling, man. The bills are coming in. I've been there. And then all of a sudden you get that job. And you're all happy. And then you're there for a few months and you're all unhappy. Right? You forget, man, I wish I had that job. And now you got it and you don't think there's somebody else out there and got that job. You know, you know the old saying that says, I didn't like my nose, because like Jacob, he's got a big nose, like me. Well, I was joking around. That's Hitler's great-great-great-grandson. See, a little mustache. And anyway, I'm talking about my stepson for you, so don't know. But anyway, have you ever heard, I didn't like my nose till I saw a man without a nose? I didn't like my short legs till I saw a man with no legs. You know, so we always want to appreciate what we have, you know, because isn't it God's will for us to give thanks in all things, to be rejoicing? If we're not rejoicing, we're out of God's will, believe it or not. God wants us rejoicing, and I'm glad He does. I'm glad He doesn't want us to be like a Pharisee, you know, walking around, you know, looking down at people and, you know, looking like they came out of a funeral, sucking on a lemon with a stomachache, right? And that's what legalists look like. You want to be like me? A Christian? See my joy? See my peace? Huh? You better repent. All right, so we're going to go back here and look. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Now this is in the beginning, right? And God said, so you see the triunity of God here, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all every creeping thing that's creeping upon the earth. So man was actually created to be king over the earth. If you look at that, have dominion, right? So God created man in His own image. Think about it. I want that in your mind. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created him. Well, you know, God the Father doesn't have arms and legs. You know, like when you see in the Old Testament, the eyes of God go to and fro. Doesn't mean God's got literal physical eyes. And I've heard Kenneth Copeland, a really false word and faith teacher, saying, oh God, He's about 6 feet tall, a little taller than me. And, you know, He created the heavens with the span, little span this from your elbow to here. And, you know, them are metaphors about God. That God desired to bring Israel under His wings, right? His feathers. Does God got feathers? See, these are metaphors. God's trying to explain. Imagine an infinite God who knows everything, right? Trying to explain to us, who are finite, about Himself and about eternal, you know, things we... It's so hard for us to grasp even when He's explaining it to us. That takes the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray, God, before I start my Bible study, I pray Your Holy Spirit gives me illumination so I'll know what it means, right? And so, when man, God is not like a little man like the Word and Faith teachers teach or Mormons teach. What God was, man is, and what God is, man can become. They teach you can become a God and go populate your own little world, you know. Ain't you glad for God's Word where He reveals Himself? So then we got to ask, what does it mean for man to be in God's image? So go to Genesis 2, 15 to 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. Hold on.
I'm sorry, about what,
please? No, go to Genesis 2, 7. I'm sorry, that's the verse I'm looking for. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, Zoe, in the Greek, and man became a living soul. So what did God, what is the breath of life? God breathed His Spirit in the man. Now, man was a container of God's Holy Spirit, and God could express Himself out of man. Man didn't have a sinful nature, and that's what made man in God's image. I've said it before, there are no aliens. There might be demons that come across saying they're aliens, you know. There is no E.T. for, you know, he was cute and everything, but if there were aliens and they came to this world and, you know, and they said, well, we want to know God. Well, God's invisible. Well, how can we know about him? Oh, go to Adam. He's created in God's image. So is God in the man, his spirit directing man's mind? He was indwelling his spirit. He was spiritually alive, directing his mind, thereby not overruling his will, directing his will, thereby governing his actions. So when you saw Adam, you saw what God was like. Now, what do you think Christ did? Though Christ was God, he didn't come to live as God. He could have stayed in heaven and lived as God, right? He came to live as a man, and part of what he was showing us was, he said, I can do nothing on my own. Well, he's God, what you talking about, right? Because he didn't come to live and perform on his own. He said, what you see me do, it's the Father in me doing it. Christ presented his body, everything he was, to the Father, and he said, if you see me, you've seen the Father, right? Well, you got the same privilege. In Romans chapter 12, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable act of divine worship. When you offer your bodies to God, God's Spirit in you, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit if you're in Christ. And the life of Christ, His resurrected Christ, His Spirit expresses Himself through us. Now, you weren't thinking about that this morning too much. Well, I hope somebody was. I do every morning. I say, I ain't much, God, but I know that you've declared me righteous in Christ, and you can use a righteous man because I come up short every day. Ask Bill. You know? But God sees us in Christ, and when we depend upon Christ in us, God expresses his life out of us. Christ expresses his love, God's truth. You know, and what does Paul say that? Have the mind of Christ, right? Think like Christ, who for the joy set before him, what? Endured even death on a cross. He gave himself. He loved. You see, so it was a beautiful thing when Adam was made in God's image, right? And they had this intimacy. Adam was spiritually alive. And he could wake up every day and just, Father, express yourself through me. He didn't even have to think about it. God was doing it, right? But what happened?
Hey.
Oh, serpent, come in the garden, right? The liar, the father of lies. And what did he tell Eve? Now, what did Adam and Eve, what did God tell Adam? That he had all this freedom. That's grace. He had a lot of grace, a lot of freedom. You can eat from every tree in the garden, right? But one tree. God gave Adam one test of his loyalty, his trust, his obedience. And he said, but do not eat from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, right? Because eating, and in the Hebrew scholars believe that it's a double death. Because the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. So Adam didn't die physically that day, did he? I think he lived to be 930 years old. But God told him in that day, how did he die? Spirit of God left him. Now he's got a human spirit. It's dead. Dead to God. It's separated from God and God's control. And he's got a soul still alive to this world and a body, right? So when he has kids, he can't pass on spiritual life, right? Death came from one man, right? Through sin. And it passed on to all men. So everybody in this world, they don't even know it because they're blind by sight. They're born spiritually dead. And what's a dead man need? Yeah, spiritual life, right? Spiritually dead person needs spiritual life. So Satan told Eve what? The opposite? Cast out on God's word? Oh, you surely won't die. Right? He said, you can be like God. You can be gods. And Adam believed it. And Eve believed it. And what they do, they declare their independence from God. I'll be my own man. I'll be my own woman. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. Eh? You still see that in the flesh today, right, with people? So that's what spiritual death is. It's the absence and presence of spiritual divine life. And that's what people are born in this world. That's what we were born in this world with. Sad, isn't it? Remember, even Paul in Ephesians, we'll get to that later, he talks about in time past without God in the world. That's, to me, one of the saddest verses in the Bible. Without God in the world. You're on your own. No wonder people are afraid, right? Or no wonder they're trying to control things by their flesh, right? Because if I'm on my own, I got to make it, you know, if I want to be happy, everything got to be happening the way I like it, you know. So men will hit their wives to, because you're going to make me happy. You're going to do what I say. And some wives hit the husbands nowadays. I knew my mom worked with this Polish guy. They used to call him Muffin or something like that. He had a lady he brought from Poland and then brought her sister. And if she didn't ask, he didn't ask her permission to work overtime or something, when he came home, she beat him with the frozen sausage. So today, you know, you never heard of that years ago, but what does Paul say? How towards the closer we get to the rapture, how things are going to be, right? And so let's look at now. Well, let me just read what I wrote here. When Adam believed Satan's lie and rebelled, God's spirit, he vacated the premises. He vacated Adam's human spirit. Adam was still soulishly alive. That's your mind, emotion, and will. He had a human soul and a mind, emotions, and will. And what I want to say is now, you know, and it probably will bug some people. I remember Dave did a thing, and I would think different than him on that subject, because he made it more sound nicer. Okay, but what I'm going to tell you, what's the difference between a dog, any kind of animal, and a human? Animals have a soul, a temporary soul. Your soul is your mind, your emotion, and will. I train dogs. I know about their will. You know, I turn that will around, right? They got a body. You can see their emotions. Their tail are wagging. Their ears are down. Their teeth are showing. You know that emotion. You better chill, right? Even the little chihuahua. Yeah. I told Mary, we got a Yorkie, Chihuahua Yorkie. I said, never again, none with Chihuahua in it. Yeah. But so animals have a temporary soul. And what I want to say is, and you know, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but I'm just telling you from what I've looked in scriptures, our animals don't go to heaven. I believe there will be animals in heaven, because you see Christ coming on a horse. You know, I believe there will be animals there. So that means your pets now, treat them good. Treat them with love, because that's all they got, this life. Yeah. And like I said, if you don't want to, you can hold on to your beliefs. So, I see on Facebook a lot, somebody's dog went, oh, they went over that bridge to heaven. And you know, but see, only man is eternal, like God. Because the human spirit, it can be dead, absent from the body of God. But our soul and spirit live on, whether living in death and hell. That's a literal place where you're aware. You know, your soul's there. Your mind's there. And your dead human spirit is there, right? Or in heaven, spiritually alive, serving God, and where it's going to be such joy and such peace. And when we think about it, what does Paul say? Our light afflictions that are only temporary. Everything you're going through here, shine it. It's temp. Compared to exceeding and abundant glory that shall be revealed in us. So if you're struggling with something, hang on. You know? Or better yet, I would say, let Christ hang on you. Because people go, oh, just hang on to Christ. Well, what if my hand gets tired? Right? Christ will never let us go. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. At your worst, as a rebellious believer. And I know from experience, before I understood grace, I mean, not that I live perfect now, but my life is a whole lot more consistent than when I was under legalism. You know, we're gonna fall on our face, and you know, we're gonna sometime. You know, it talks about walking in the Spirit. It says the Spirit's never leading us under law, right? He's leading us under grace. Well, we're walking in the Spirit, and all of a sudden we kind of turn this way, you know, and you start falling on the road. And then I had posted this thing on Facebook. I loved it. It's somebody who's just beat up. And Christ is lifting him and carrying him. He says, I failed you again, Lord. And he said, shh, quiet. I got this. I always, every day or every couple of days, I say, thank you, Lord, that, you know, you've brought me through so much. You think about it. Don't ever forget, you know, where you came from. Don't dwell on your failures. Don't dwell on the past. But just go back there to remember where you were and where he's brought you to. You know, praise God. So, now there's another thing called functional debt. Now, legalists would, you know, I remember when I was and I love my Pentecostal friends, my charismatic brothers and sisters, but there's a lot of, just like a lot around the church, there's a lot of false teaching that blows to and fro by every wind of doctrine, right? Well, you know, Pentecostalism, if you want to know about a movement or something, go to the roots. Find out where it began and how it developed, okay? The Pentecostal movement developed out of the holiness movement. Sort of come out of Wesleyism and stuff. You know, that's where, you know, oh, you never have the wine go to your lips, or, you know, you don't chew tobacco, and you know, go what girls would do, and, you know, it's always a filthy five and a dirty dozen, you know. never about self-righteous thinking and pharisaical, you know, legalism. But, so that, if you go to the roots of where that started from, you see how it developed. And if the roots are rotten, the fruit's going to be rotten. No matter how, you know, you ever see plastic fruit on a table, real good stuff? It looks real, right? But take a bite out of it. Wax don't taste good. You know. So, anyway, they would teach in Pentecostalism that you could backslide. That's what they call it. I didn't know at the time, but it meant you could lose your salvation. I thought it meant, you know, you just, in your walk, doing the Michael Jackson, you know, backwards. And at times, we, if you want to think of it like that, a lot of times in a grace walk, it's three steps forward, four, and sometimes it's two back, right? But then three forward. So before you know it, you're from here, and you're growth, you're getting to here, you know? And then not only are you growing, now God helps you to use you to help other people to grow, you know, because he's with the God is a God of what? Our comfort, that comforts us in all of our tribulations and trials, that we might be able to comfort anyone else who is going through trouble. So the best tool for counseling is who? Believers that have been through stuff. Because God can use you to help somebody else out, right? And so, I forgot where I was going with that, but I'll just keep going. And you know, it always comes back.
Functional death.
Yeah. Okay, so functional death doesn't mean you lose your salvation. What does function mean? Think of the word function. You know, it's working for the purpose it was created for, right? So we were created for what? God's Spirit, Christ in us, to function in our lives, right? He's the head, we're the body directs the head. That's how God wants us to be under grace, right? What did I say?
Body directs.
Oh, thank you. The head should direct the body. So, now, again, I got thrown off there because when we're functioning in the Holy Spirit the way God, if you want, recreated us, you know, when you're born of God's Spirit, and I use the term born again. I know people say, oh, Paul never uses that. Well, there, and I went over that before. When he talks about regeneration, that's two words. It's palin or palin genesia. It means again, beginning, born again. So if you don't want to use that, I will use it. Some people nitpick, oh, that's for Israel and blah, blah. You know, well, there are a lot of things. We do got to rightly divide, but don't over divide. So when we're born from above, born of God's Spirit, God wants His Spirit to function in us and produce fruit in our lives, right? Well, functional death is where you're still spiritually alive because what? What does God call it? Probation? Is it a partial life? Life you could lose? No. God calls it eternal life. And like the little girl said, Dad, if God didn't mean what He said, why didn't he say what He meant? It's, Paul tells us we have eternal life. But when we get ourselves under legalism or get caught up in some sin in the flesh, we start focusing and depending on, then what happens? The Holy Spirit's not producing fruit. So let's look at it. Go to Romans 4:17-19. Now we're back to Paul. And people look at, Christians will look at these verses, and they're taught a lot of times, like you can lose your salvation. But you can't lose your salvation.
Amen.
If you think you can, then you don't know what salvation is. It's called eternal life. You've been made spiritually alive, born from above of God's Spirit. Now, somebody thinks they can, and they usually don't think they'll lose it, but you can lose it. That's a Pharisee, right? Say, oh, would you do it? Oh, not me, but a lot of Christians, especially you are grace teach, you know, teaching people just go on sin. Shall we continue since we're under grace? Never, 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 never. Grace teaches us to deny unrighteousness, right? Live upright and godly. Are people zealous for good works? So Romans, where are we at? 4:17-19. Now, you know, Calvinism will tell us that, you know, somebody who's dead can't do anything, right? So it's got to take, God's got to sprinkle down from heaven faith in your heart. Well, Scripture tells me, where does faith come from? And where does that come from? The Word of God. That's what you do. You hear the gospel, now somebody has a choice to believe it or not. Okay, so here, now we're going to look at Abraham. And it said he was dead, but he was doing a lot of stuff. So when somebody, you hear a Calvinist tell you, and we love Calvinists too, don't we? might irritate us, but you can love somebody and when they irritate you, right? You're married. right, honey? So, as it is written, I have made thee, this is God talking about Abraham, I have made thee the father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickener gives life to the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. So all Abraham did was believe God. What did God tell him? He's going to have a son. He was too old to have a son physically. And Sarah was too old at this time. And God waited till they were too old.
That's right.
You know, on purpose. That he might become the father of many nations. So according to that which he was spoken, so they shall be. So being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Now wait a minute. His body was dead, right? See, context will tell you what some means. It was dead to procreate. He was doing a lot of stuff, wasn't he? When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So Abraham was dead in that, to be able to procreate. But he was living, he was eating. So dead people can do a lot of things, right? But they were dead in that area. Okay, so let's go to... So they could do a lot of things, but they were functionally dead to produce children, right? Go to Galatians 5:4. Galatians 5:4. Christ is... Go to verse 3. This is our Apostle Paul. For I testify again to everyone that is circumcised that he's a debtor to keep the whole law. And Christ is become of no effect unto you, whoever you are, justified by the law. So you're attempting to be justified right before God by law keeping. You're fallen from grace. Now they'll teach that this means you lost your salvation. No, it's when a believer who's saved by grace, stays saved by grace, is going to heaven by grace, and they're not under law. Paul says in Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under law, you're under grace, right? Wish I had longer arms. So this is a person who is trying to perform in their own flesh, because that's what the law called for you to do or don't do, right? And that word, Christ is of no effect to you, it means to be rendered inactive, right, or no effect. The Holy Spirit, Christ's Spirit in us, is not going to produce fruit in our lives if we're trying to perform under law. So go to Romans 8:11-13. Romans chapter 8, and I'm trying to close out here. Romans 8:11-13. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, so the idea, remember, that when you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, shall also quicken or give life, see, produce fruit in your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. How far did I say to 13? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. See, the cross broke the power of the flesh, right? So we don't have to let it express itself to us. To live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Wow, we can lose our salvation, I guess, huh? Is that what Paul's saying?
No.
That's functional death. That's what I'm talking about. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So what Paul's saying just like in the other place, if we get under law, if we get allow the flesh to be controlling us, one thing, Christ is not producing His life, the Holy Spirit's not producing fruit in our lives. So you're alive, you're a tree with roots, but there's something wrong because the way our thinking is, or our understanding, and something's blocking the fruit, because we can't produce fruit. Do you know that? We can a tree bears fruit. It don't go, I'm going to produce fruit today, right? And that's like us. I'm going to produce fruit for you, God, today. Christ is like, go ahead, try it. And we got to learn something, that we want to serve God. We got to depend on Christ in us to express Himself out of us. And then take and apply Paul's epistles to them details of our life. And the Holy Spirit will produce fruit. So you see what I'm talking about here? Now, Romans 8:5. And then I just got one more place. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And this is somebody, if you look at the context of this chapter, getting back on the law, a believer. He says to be carnally minded, that's carnally minded, is death. See, functional death. But to be spiritual minded is life and peace. See, the life of Christ being expressed out of you. And you're going to have what? Love, joy, peace, all the way down to self-control. We're going to look at just one more, and I ain't even going to all the verses. The other one is eternal death. It's called the second death. See, we're born in this world in Adam, spiritually dead, and yet that can be changed. If we believe that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, He was buried and He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and we come by and receive that gift of God, we're saved by grace, unmerited favor, through faith. Faith just is a hand of the heart. It just says thank you, right? It's a gift of God. Thank you for the gift, God, that Christ provided. It's not of ourselves. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast, right? So that can be changed. Now you can have eternal life. But if somebody keeps rejecting or ignoring, and we know a lot of people like that, right? In our families, people we're trying to share with and stuff. But praise God, you never know them seeds you're planting and what they'll do. But go to Revelations 20:10-15, and I'll end with that. And for your notes, that's all right, we'll just go this. And remember, the book of Revelation is wrapping up God's early program, but His eternal program here too. Before, what did I say? Revelation 20. 10 to 15. Remember I said about 6 o'clock news, what the devil's doing? His time's short. It's getting shorter every time. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire. That's where he's going. And brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. And I saw a great white throne. This is not after the rapture. That's a judgment seat of Christ to hand out rewards to believers in the body of Christ. This is for all the ages from Adam on that rejected God's way, okay? And I saw a great white throne, and on Him sat on it, from whose face the earth and from and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up its dead which were in it, and death and hell. See, hell is a temporary tormenting place. It's like a jail where you're tormented. But this is going to get thrown into the lake of fire. And hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according every man according to the works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. It just heats it up more. This is a second death. See, that's what I'm talking about. The eternal death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So, if you've never made that decision to trust in Christ sometime in your life, if you can't remember sometime, do it today. Because once we leave this, that's it. You know. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you provided a way that not only that we would be safe from hell, that would be wonderful news, but that we can be made spiritually alive today. And that we can receive your Holy Spirit, and that he can live through us, and you can produce love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and meekness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control in our lives. I pray if there's one, Father, who's never trusted in you, that today they'll be safe from that lake of fire. They'll be safe from spiritual death by just simply trusting in what Christ did for them in their place. That they would just in the quietness of their heart say, I'm going to trust in your Son, God. I'm going to trust in what he did, not what I'm doing or what any church says I should do. Just trust completely in him. And for us, Father, use us, Lord. Grow us in your grace and fill us with your love for the lost and your love for the saved. Help build them up in sound grace doctrine. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.